Hello, this is George Cady, KCIW Community Radio's host of Coastal Classical Music, the voice of the Brookings Harbor Friends of Music. And this is the third in a series of podcasts focused on upcoming Friends of Music concerts with information about the performers and the pieces to be played. I'll also provide a brief preview of some of the music, highlighting some special things to listen for to help you get the most from your concert experience. And at the end of the podcast, I'll provide details on where and when the concert will take place, how to get tickets, and so on, so have a pencil and paper ready. If you attended the last Friends of Music concert, the one featuring cellist Hannah Adario Berry, I know you were thrilled by her spectacular performance. Whether or not you were there, I have some good news. We have a great concert coming up on February 7th, featuring the wonderful artists, violinist Stephanie Chase and pianist Brian Connolly. Several people have come up to me after our concerts and said that what they most want is melody. Well, one could argue that everything we've presented has melody, but I really do know what they want, a musically satisfying theme that they can carry with them after it has gone by in the performance. Okay, you want melody? How about this? Or this beautiful melody. Or even this one. Each of those three melodies and many, many more will be heard in the selections to be played by Stephanie Chase and Brian Connolly. The program includes pieces by Mozart, Brahms, Rachmaninoff, the Chinese composer Xiao Qun Ma, Yo-Yo Ma's father, and the virtuosic Spanish violinist and composer Pablo de Sarasate. With the range of pieces being presented, there are many, many things we could focus on, but I'd like to particularly zero in on the Brahms Sonata in A Major for Piano and Violin, Opus 100. It was composed in 1886, while Brahms was staying in the Bernese Alps at a place, no bilingual pun intended, named Thun. This was a very fertile and refreshing times for Brahms. He found himself so invigorated by the atmosphere and surroundings of the place that he said it was, quote, so full of melodies that one has to be careful not to step on any. In a short space of time, he produced, in addition to this violin sonata, a cello sonata, a piano trio, and a number of songs. First of all, consider the title. There's something very unusual about it. Did you pick up on that? Well, this is specifically titled Sonata for Piano and Violin, where almost all pieces for this combination are titled Sonata for Violin and Piano. Clearly, the composer wanted to emphasize that the piano is at least an equal partner in this work. The next thing to point out is the markings of the three movements of the piece. The first is marked Allegro Amabile, or Cheerful and Amiable. The second is Andante Tranquillo, Peaceful and at a Moderate Pace. And the third is Allegro Grazioso, Cheerful and Graceful. Get the idea? All three movements reflect the inner peace and happiness that Brahms enjoyed during his time at Thun. No angst, no Sturm und Drang, nothing monumental, no anger, no hopelessness. So I'm going to share with you the major themes of the piece, and they'll illustrate for themselves its charm and inner beauty. The first movement is in classical sonata form. This is a topic so important in listening to classical music that I must do a whole program on it someday soon. But for now, what you need to know is that there are two important themes upon which the entire movement is built in accordance with very well understood rules for the sonata format. When you attend the concert, listen for the two themes and how they're presented, repeated, developed, and recapitulated as the movement progresses. The first theme is a pleasant waltz tune, first presented as a piano solo. The second theme, once again, is presented by the piano with only brief comments by the violin. As you listen, consider how vocal it sounds. It was, in fact, originally derived from a song Brahms had previously written. This brings us to the second movement. This one is in ABABA form. So again, we have two themes, A and B. The first theme is a beautiful dialogue between the piano and the violin. The second theme represents a dramatic change in tempo. It resembles a rustic German dance called the Ländler. The form of the third movement is a rondo, which consists of a principal theme called the refrain, which occurs, at least in variation, repeatedly, interspersed with contrasting themes often called digressions. Let's listen to just the principal theme. Now you've heard the major themes of the A major sonata. Not for a moment is its radiant, happy mood ever put in jeopardy, and its melodies are heartwarming and quite likely to stick in the listener's ear. The perfect antidote to darkness, rain, and even sinkholes. Typically, Brahms' chamber works end in a whirl of passionate and colorful music, often inspired by German or Hungarian dance tunes. Not so with this one, however, which concludes in a relaxed fashion, reflecting the composer's overall mood at the time. But Stephanie Chase and Brian Connolly have, ingeniously I think, crafted their overall program to end in a blaze of colorful folk music, the Zigeunerweisen, or Gypsy Airs, by Pablo de Sarasate. Here's a sample. We should conclude this program by hearing something from our violinist, Stephanie Chase, herself. Here she plays the Chaconne from the Petite No. 2 for solo violin by Johann Sebastian Bach. If it sounds familiar, you heard a clip of this Chaconne in the last podcast. Now here's a longer sample performed by Stephanie Chase. Now pick up that pen and paper you have handy, because here come the details you need to know. The concert by Stephanie Chase and Brian Connolly will take place on Sunday, February 7th at 3 o'clock p.m. This and all Friends of Music concerts this season will be at the Seventh-day Adventist Church, located at 102 Park Avenue in Brookings. Tickets cost $15 for adults, and students are free. You can get further details by calling 541-412-2957. The concert will be a wonderful experience which is not to be missed. And guess what? If you're a football fan, you can have your cake and eat it too. Record the game and enjoy it later after the concert. What a plethora of wonderful opportunities. If you're not a football fan, the concert provides a great Super Bowl refuge. Either way, everybody wins. And this concludes today's podcast of Coastal Classical Music on Community Radio KCIW. I'm George Cady saying, I'll see you at the next concert.
If you enjoyed this program and want to hear more like it, consider supporting Curry Coast Community Radio and help us get on the air. For more information, go to our website, kciw.org. Thank you for listening.